All right. Good. This is Kent Hovind and Albert. Awesome, Albert. I forgot. Live, Pensacola, Florida.
January 25th. 06.
And we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can call us and join us on the program here, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466. Or if you're outside the U.S., you have to dial 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Everything else is the same, just the prefix. I'm sorry, the toll-free number does not work outside the U.S. But just a little quick background here. I was a high school science teacher for 15 years, and now for 17 years I've been an evangelist, traveling and speaking on the subjects of creation, evolution, dinosaurs. And we do take the position that the Bible is literally true. The earth is about 6,000 years old. God made it in 6 days, just like he said he did. And there was a big flood about 4,400 years ago that completely destroyed the world and annihilated everybody that was not on the ark, except, of course, the fish. They can do fine in a flood, okay? And then this flood is the only way to explain the geology of the world, the geography. Everything is best explained by a worldwide flood in the days of Noah. Okay, so you can call us or instant message us, AOL instant message at Dr. Dino Live. DrDinoLive. I do not know if email got fixed or not. They're working on it. I didn't find out. I've been busy today. Pavel says, not yet, but he will. Right, Pavel? Okay, good. I got a few instant messages left from yesterday, so let me get some of these here, then we'll take your new ones coming in now. Is everything okay, Albert? We're on the line. We're live.
Everything's fine.
Okay. You look like you got that nose on your face. Aaron? Aaron was on last night? Good. Amen. Call in anytime. Okay, here we go. Coach Z Runner wrote to us and says, oh, well, my question is how I should tell my teacher that he is wrong because he said that they don't believe they, evolutionists, came from rocks. They do. Okay, Coach Z Runner. I was in a debate one time, I forget where, and I've done 100 of these things, and a lady came to me afterwards, and she was really angry, and she said, we do not believe we came from a rock, because I say over and over in my seminar and in my debates and in my radio program, the evolution theory which says we all came from a rock is dumb. She said, we don't believe that. I said, ma'am, then tell me. Do you believe in evolution? She said, yes, I do. I'm a microbiologist here. She said, I'm a biology professor here at the university. I said, well, then where did we come from? She said, we came from a macro molecule. I said, okay, where did that come from? She said, from the oceans, from the prebiotic soup. I said, okay, where did the soup come from? She said, well, it rained on the rocks for millions of years. And she stopped and looked at herself and said, wow, I do believe I come from a rock, don't I? Yes, ma'am, you certainly do. So, Coach Z Runner, tell your teacher whether he likes it or not, whether he believes it or not, if he believes in evolution, he does believe he came from a rock. Period. You got somebody on the phone there?
We sure do.
We take phone calls first. I got a whole bunch left over from yesterday, folks. Hang in there. I'll get there as quick as I can. Who's on the phone there? Awesome. Albert?
We have Glenda from Pensacola, Florida.
Glenda? Oh, no. This is my secretary, Glenda. How can we help you, Glenda?
Hey, Dr. Hovind.
Yes. You're still working here, aren't you? You were until a few minutes ago? Go ahead.
Trying to meet with you all day, you know, and you say if you can't catch you on the phone or by email, just call into your radio program. I just thought I'd call in tonight and see if we couldn't discuss a few things.
Sure. You got some things on the list to talk to me about. But it has been a busy day, hasn't it? I haven't seen you in a couple of days. Here's my own secretary. I don't even get to say hi to.
But if you could just pencil me in for about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll take care of it all.
You got a whole list and we can discuss it all in about 5 minutes, or how long you need?
Yeah, if you could give me 5 minutes, that
okay.
Might.
10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Okay, we'll pencil that in.
All right, have a good show.
Well, I got to check with my secretary and make sure that's okay, but okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Bye. All right, you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Okay. Or instant messages at Dr. Dino Live. Here we go. Little Italy, 32,000, wrote in, I have a question. Do you think Adam and Eve could be underwater and not worry about coming up to the surface to catch a breath? Probably not. That still would be necessary. I don't Adam and Eve probably had lots of cool features, like maybe even, you know, being able to sense which way is north or their geoposition based upon the magnetic field. You probably had some features that we have since lost over the generations, but I doubt they had that one. Okay. Other question is, referring to when they're in the Garden of Eden. Okay, yeah. I would say I'll give that a qualified probably not. Okay, hope that helps, Lily. Fast Car for Life wrote in and said, since the evolutionists have changed the size they thought the Big Bang was many times, I was wondering if they changed it from nothing to something even stupider, like nothing divided by 10. No, that's nothing's as far as they've gone. He says, oh yeah, sometimes I tell people you offer $250,000 proof for evolution and no one's been able to do it. Are you still offering $250,000 or has the amount increased? It's still $250,000, but we could increase it to $20 billion. It wouldn't matter. There simply is no evidence for evolution. I am not the least bit worried about losing the money. Basically, a friend of mine who has a bunch of money offered to back me up for $250,000. So it's a legitimate offer. The money is there. And I would hate to offer more than, you know, could actually be backed up. But it could be $250,000,000,000,000. It wouldn't matter. There is no evidence, no scientific evidence for evolution. None. If you believe there is, call in. We can fix that. Okay? Marsupial03 wrote in. One more thing about the article I sent you, besides this being a joke. I don't understand how one-sided story could be considered credible journalism. That's the main reason I don't like the corporate media. Boy, good point. I agree. And I'll tell you what, so much of the, like you call it, corporate media is absolutely one-sided. They're dedicated to this stupid evolution theory. Like it's some kind of part of science or something. All right, who's on the phone there, Albert?
You got Joseph from Louisiana.
Joseph, yes, sir. I thought Louisiana blew away.
Not north part, sir.
Okay. How can we help you, Joseph?
Well, I wanted to ask you about the like the late videos, the 90s, the late 90 videos, mm-hmm. where you talk about government conspiracies, about right. like the paint trucks getting painted in Russia and getting sent back, and the detention camps.
Right.
In Georgia and the machines on the side of the roads that can tear off your vehicle. I was wondering, do you still use that in your videos? Because on the newer ones, I haven't seen it.
I do not use it on the videos, not because I'm afraid to. Number one, I don't have time. My seminar, I keep adding more and more stuff. Number two, it's a little bit off the topic of creation.
Yeah.
And it was becoming sort of a distraction. People were all worried about that instead of, you know, they're missing the main point. So... yeah, no, I still feel okay. The same. There are still a lot of things. You know, I still love my country and fear my government.
Right.
And I think everybody should be that way.
Yeah, I mean, because of that, like, I'm saying, what is it called? I guess, not just scared to go to the house, but more like just I'm aware of the government, you know?
Right. Well, I'm not anti-government.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not either. I'm just, you know, aware of it. Like, I'm trying to talk about when you came to Ruston and spoke. He said you said in between sermons, well, I guess the speeches about government spraying stuff in the atmosphere.
I'll tell you what, go to Google and type in chemtrails, like chemical trails, C-H-E-M, C-H-E-M, trails.
All right.
Just see what you find.
Okay. And as far as anything else about that stuff, the camp stuff, you just aren't going to bring it up anymore at all, or is it just...
Oh, no, if somebody asks during Q&A, I bring it up, you know, but as far as my seminar, okay. I will cover that kind of stuff on my college class, where I have more time, CSE 101, 2, 3, and 4, and we're redoing the whole series as CSE 201, 202, 203. We just finished 201, we're about a third of the way through 202, and as we get them done, we'll try to devote, you know, dedicate them to DVD, but...
The only reason I asked him is because I was wondering, is there any updates since then? You know, about like all that, the camps and the paint trucks and the...
So much has happened, especially September 11th. That did so much toward the New World Order.
Yeah.
You know, it probably was not even passenger jets that flew into the towers. It was military jets. There's a real problem. I mean, get the video 9/11 in plain sight, or the website by the same name. 9/11 in plain sight, and it's PLANE, like an airplane.
Okay.
And just watch for yourself, see what you think. The evidence is, I think, overwhelming. We have been really, really brainwashed into thinking, you know, terrorists blew up those buildings. I think it was terrorists, all right, but it was U.S. government terrorists, and not Osama bin Laden. He might have been involved, I don't know. just like Harvey Oswald probably took the blame for shooting Kennedy. Might have been involved, but he had nothing. He didn't shoot Kennedy.
Yeah.
I tell you what,
he was part of the government, wasn't he? Like a military soldier or something?
He had been. There's a book about this type of thing. Hey, Leia, are you over there? Can you hear me? Okay. There's a book by Craig Roberts, Medusa File. It's in the conspiracy section. Oh, Leia, look right over on this shelf here. I can see the section. I can't get there from here. Craig Roberts wrote the book called The Medusa File. And it is chapter after chapter of different, you know, government cover-ups on things.
Okay.
I think it's right there. Yeah, Craig Roberts, Medusa File. Craig Roberts was a sniper, and what first got him started thinking about this was, man, you can't shoot President Kennedy 21 times with a single-shot rifle from the fourth floor, wherever he was at, you know, and have some of your own bullets land in the base of your own building. I mean, the guy's left-handed shooting a right-handed rifle. No, he might have been a great shot, but yeah, here we go. Thank you. Medusa File, Craig Roberts. The subtitle is... No, that is a subtitle. Okay, if you want to get a hold of the book, NIDLINK, NIDLINK.com.
NIDLINK, okay.
I don't know how they got that name. NIDLINK.com. They must have more stuff on their site. Then there's a / then the tilde, you know what that is, a little squiggly line above the tab button?
Yes, sir.
And then AKMOOB.
All right.
AKMOOB /Roberts, ROBERTS.
Slash Roberts.
That should take you right to him or to his website, I think. I'm sure I'd get a simpler website if it's me. But this Medusa File is powerful. It goes through different conspiracies. Anyway. Okay, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. You're welcome to hang on if you'd like. Joseph, cool. Any more questions?
Hey, can I ask one more question?
We got a break. Joseph, hang on. We'll be back after the break. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live here.
January 25th of 06.
Man, the January's about gone. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, and we'll get there as quick as we can. And we're the folks who believe the Bible is true and the evolution theory is stupid. Absolutely el devil. And if you believe it, you know, shame on you. Think about it. Think it through one more time, okay? Use your head and think about it. You didn't come from a rock. You had to be made in God's image. Anyway, we have on the phone with us Joseph from Los Angeles, right? No, Louisiana. Still there, Joseph?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead. You had one more question. What was it?
You said that you want to redo your 201 classes? About the conspiracies, are you going to update like anything about what I mentioned about the camps and the food trucks and like anything?
Sure. I will hit that as I go by and talk about what I know about it. And I usually, with that topic, since it's not my field of expertise, I steer people to other, you know, websites, and like Alex Jones has a lot of good stuff on that.
Okay.
Alex Jones, what's his website? I don't remember now, but just go to Google and type in Alex Jones, and I've been on the internet and radio for years, and it just has a ton of stuff on the conspiracies, you know.
Alex Jones, okay.
Okay.
That's it. I think we're talking. I mean, I'm sorry about that trip you took to Rust and how anybody showed up.
Oh, Rust in Florida?
No, Rust in Louisiana.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was kind of disappointing, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. I actually put flyers myself in the biology building at Tech, but they were all ripped down.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll come back anytime to debate all your professors with half the brain tied behind my back, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, folks. You can join us. Our one lonely phone line is open, 877-479-DINO. Albert?
Yes.
All the secretaries, it's a conspiracy, okay? They're out there saying they're all going to call in to ask me their questions they've been trying to get me with all day. Have I been loafing today?
Loafing? I haven't seen you most of the day. I'm pretty sure that you haven't been loafing.
I've been running around like a head with my chicken cut off all day. I'll tell you what, it's been a zoo around here. You guys did a lot of work over there. Got the deck up, and Eric's got the steps up now. And
guess what I learned how to do today?
Pound a nail.
No, I still not. I haven't got that yet. But I did learn how to check the messages.
You did?
Yes.
On the phone?
On the phone.
Were there were like 100 of them, right?
There was 13 of them, and three of them were from... one of the guys that we had scheduled to call in earlier this week, and the other ones were just hang-ups. All of them.
So it's cleared.
Yeah, it's cleared right now. There are no messages on there right now.
So if you call 877-479-DINO, extension 136, and leave a message, we will check it in about a month. Right?
It might be quicker than a month.
You might do it. Okay. But don't get excited about it. I mean, if you want to, fine. We didn't get the email yet, so we'll work on that.
Yeah.
Okay. From yesterday. You're sending me this today's messages, but I got to click this little button here. Hang on. Accept message. Okay. Yep. I accepted it. Now what do I got to do? Go back to where I was. There. From yesterday, I tried to get them all. Duke Guru 716 wrote in, Genesis 4:14, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone who findeth me shall slay me. This is what Cain said to the Lord. Was he referring to a future person or about his siblings or who? Yeah, I had to be referring to his siblings. By the time Cain was old enough to kill Abel and be out on his own, I guess we could just pick a wild number and assume he had to be maybe 40 or 50 or 60, because most of them, you know, were getting married when they were 100 back then. I mean, look at the dates in Genesis chapter 5. So let's just pick a wild number and say he was 50 years old when he killed Abel. Adam and Eve could have had 30 more kids by then, okay? So Cain would have married one of his sisters, and he was afraid his other brothers and sisters were going to deck him for killing Abel. Rightfully so, okay? Here we go. So yeah, probably one of his sisters, or probably that's who he was afraid of. Okay, Tim Eagle 77 wrote, speaking of money, is tithing merely a display of faith, or is it something more? As I understand it, tithing would be just an act of obedience, just like baptism. Doesn't save you, doesn't help you get saved, it just, God said do it. So, okay, yes sir, Lord, you do it, you know. The tithe, actually everything, belongs to the Lord. But he wants you to give 10% to his work. It helps the work go forward, you know, helps ministries like this and churches and everything get the gospel out. Because, well, if you look at the standard in the Bible, let's take this as an analogy. There were 12 tribes of Israel. 11 of them were commanded to give 10% of their income to support the other tribe, the tribe of Levi, so they could do the work of the Lord full time. Well, let's suppose everybody makes $100. If 11 people are giving $100, a tithe off $100, 11 people are giving $10, that's $110. The Levite makes 10% more than the rest of them. So preachers ought to make 10% more than everybody else. By that logic, right?
Yeah.
It don't work around here, but that sounds good. I like the idea. Is this the same Glenda that called into the radio program that's now messing with my calendar here? You're going to put more stuff on there for me to do. Oh, man. More appointments. Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. There we go. Shadow Grunge. What a name. Where can I find the chart you had in one of your movies? It was the suicide rate chart. It showed the big rise in suicides after evolution was incorporated. Okay, all of those charts are in seminar part one, and they're also on in our seminar notebook, which you get free with a set of tapes. I don't know if they're on our website or not. Jonathan, if you're listening, that's a good idea. Let's put those charts up there from 1963 on, what's happened.
Wouldn't they be in the PowerPoint?
You can download my PowerPoint slides, PowerPoint number one for $20 or whatever. You can get 1,000 slides.
Yeah.
And they're all in there.
That'd probably be the easiest thing to do. And also you get a lot more slides.
Yeah. Downloading the PowerPoint slides would be, you get a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Technically, computer data doesn't weigh anything. You can't say a ton of stuff because it's zero. I mean, it's weightless. But you know what I'm talking about. Who cares? Okay. Here we go. Little Italy writes in, can you please give an update on the New World Order? Could you give a brief example of chemtrails? there is a mountain of material. It's not really a mountain because it's data, okay? It doesn't weigh nothing. It's not. There's a lot of stuff, okay, on the internet. If you go to Google and type in chemtrails. You ever done that, Albert?
What's that?
Go to Google and type in chemtrails.
No, I haven't done that.
It's unreal.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah. Chemtrails, chemical trails. Somebody is spraying stuff all over. It's not just America either. I've had people tell me, oh, yeah, they're spraying our country too. The theory is, at least the cover story is, oh, they're doing this to reflect back the sunlight to stop global warming. The truth is, this is poisoning the world's population. Chemtrails. Just check it out. I didn't write it. I'm just reading what it says on there. There's a mountain of stuff. There's a lot of stuff. I can't see a mountain. Okay. Duke Guru 716. Last summer, there was 45 million-year-old T-Rex bones that was still soft tissue. It was given to North Carolina State University. Why would the tissue still be soft, and why wouldn't that open up an evolutionist's eyes? Well, it's worse than that. They said it was 70 million years old. Now, here's the deal. They find this T-Rex bone, they break it open, and find out the tissue is still soft inside. And so they start asking the questions, how can dinosaur tissue stay soft for 70 million years? Instead of asking, you know, how it stayed soft for 70 million years, they should be asking, is it 70 million years old? You know, there is another option, guys. Maybe your entire geologic column is a joke. Maybe dinosaurs did not live millions of years ago. Maybe you have been brainwashed. Oh, well. All right. Okay. You can get us your questions in. We'll get to them right away here. I'm getting there as quick as I can. Albert? Never mind. I got him here. Young Earth Guy writes in. The question is about the hydroplate theory. The water coming out of the fountains of the deep would have been under tremendous pressure. I agree. Let me explain here for everybody else. Walt Brown, PhD in physics, taught at the Air Force Academy for years in Colorado Springs, taught physics actually. He is retired and now speaks on creation and spends all of his time writing one book. He has rewritten the book seven times and is rewriting it again, adding more stuff to it. The book is called In the Beginning by, of all people, Walt Brown. That's his name, okay? His website is creationscience.com. You can read the book right online. Click right there, read the whole thing. You don't need to buy it. If you do want to buy it, it's in hardback, full color, gorgeous book, about 25 or 30 bucks. I don't know. Well worth getting. I would encourage you to get that. He says, and I believe he's absolutely right, that before the flood came, there was a layer of water under the crust of the earth. It's mentioned in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's. He founded it upon the seas. And Psalm 136, he stretched out the earth above the waters. The original creation was a lot different than what we're looking at. There was lots of water in the crust of the earth, which came shooting to the surface. Break time. Shooting to the surface at the time of the flood. Albert, time flies. Okay, tell the caller we'll be back. We'll take your questions in 2 minutes, folks. We'll be back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and awesome Albert. You're looking good over there, Albert.
Thank you. Live January 25th of 06.
And you can call in. We're the folks who believe the Bible's true and evolution theory is dumb. Capital D, dumb. But that's okay if you believe it. We can help you. We're here to help. We're not the enemy. We believe the Bible's true. Okay, and you can call us 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. Who's on the phone there, Albert?
We got Jonathan from Pal Talk.
Jonathan, yes, sir. Go ahead. Oh, you got the buttons pushed. What is Pal Talk?
Pal Talk. I've told you about that before. We got a forum out here for you where we put your we take the show off Truth Radio and pipe it into a room and put it in social issues where, you know, atheists, disbelievers, non-believers, and Christians stop by and find out that you're actually still around out there doing a radio show.
Oh, I'm traveling, preaching, and still around doing the radio and keeping real busy. Yes, sir. Been for 17 years now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's nice to find you out here. So that's when we decided to get together. And, you know, once you'd called me back and told me that you had a radio show, and or one of your secretaries did, and we decided, okay, let's tune into that and see if we can get it into the some of the chat sessions out here and see
sure.
if people stop by and listen to it.
We'll take any questions they got.
Okay. So here we are. I noticed that do you remember your good friend, Jared, from New Hampshire?
Yes.
Well, he happens to have all 50 or so of his calls between you and him up on a website.
Oh, okay.
And I was going through listening to those. It took me 12 hours. I've got maybe 10 left that I haven't listened to.
Okay.
And it's actually quite interesting. He was a very smart guy. He wasn't a typical evolution believer.
Right,
but
right. I don't know why he's not calling anymore, but I wish he
yeah,
would.
Yeah, I know. He was very interesting, a lot of those conversations. He could, you know, he thought, he at least used his brain, you know. He didn't
right.
put it up there on a shelf and just decide to go in lockstep, believe in everything he's told.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I was listening through some of those videos, I mean, some of those audio things. They're up on the internet. I could give you, or Albert, a site if you wanted to find him or reference to them. But one of the things I noticed you mentioned that I was wondering about in one of the conversations last summer, yeah, you mentioned about the genetic load of humans only going back several thousand years and not millions. Do you remember anything about that? Or
Vaguely. I believe there was an article on Answers in Genesis dealing with the number of mutations in humans is defective genes is probably a more correct way to say it.
Or endogenous retrovirus, you talk about junk DNA and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think there is any such thing as junk DNA. I think it's a lack of our understanding. Just like, you know, 80 years ago, they said there were 180 vestigial organs, things you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just didn't know what they were for is all it was. You know? Now there's been a function discovered for all of them. I use the analogy of put a five-year-old under the hood of your car and say, take out anything this car doesn't need. He doesn't know what any of it does, so he's going to take it all out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a pure lack of understanding on our part. Okay. So there's no junk DNA. I would argue there is none.
Right. Do you know what evidence or whatever your proposal, what your side of it was as far as how you found out that the genetic load of humans only goes back thousands of years? Are any references or sites for anybody listening that we could find this on?
If I recall, it was a very lengthy, well-documented article on answersingenesis.org. I believe that's where I read, or it might have been in their Creation magazine, where they dealt with that. But somebody had said that's proof for evolution, and one of their scientists on staff said, oh, wait, you better check this out first, you know.
Mm.
So.
Huh. Okay. I noticed another one of the particular tapes, that audio MP3s that I was listening to, you said that, this is actually pretty funny when he said, called you a liar. He said, "There's no way you had living trilobites. Do you really? Did you have living trilobites? What do you call them? Isopods or?"
Well, the Baltic isopod comes in several different flavors. Mine have
like cherry and blueberry.
No, yeah. Well, there's several different subspecies, I guess would be the proper word. But mine have not quite as they have three sections to each part of their carapace. It's not quite as distinct as a trilobite. But it's obviously, I think, to most people looking at it say, wow, that looks like a trilobite. I mean, you can come see them. When the jar of them arrived in Pensacola, they were alive, some of them.
Wow.
They'd been shipped from Alaska. But you can call the Conoco oil treatment plant up there in, let me get my
Barrow.
It's not Barrow. They don't. It's west of Barrow.
Wainwright?
East of Barrow, where they actually drill the Conoco treatment plant. But I mean, it's a nuisance. These things come in and plug up the screens and stop the water from, you know, flowing in to cool things off. They're a royal nuisance to them, and there are just a bunch of them. That's
pretty neat, because I remember him saying if you had trilobites, that would refute everything in evolution. And so you're saying that they look just like you could mistake them for instance.
Oh yeah, absolutely sure.
And do you have pictures of them anywhere?
Oh yeah, on my website, on my seminar part 4.
Okay.
There are probably 1,400 slides, and including all the documentation. For $20, you can download all those slides off my website. Just go to Seminar Part 4 and hit download. I don't know how you...
What are they embedded in? Are they in rocks, or are they just...
No, they're alive.
When they were, now that they're dead, are they...
Oh, I've got them in a jar pickled with formaldehyde.
Wow. Okay.
He sent them in a jar of seawater, which is what they live in. They live in the you know, Beaufort Sea up there in the part of the Arctic Ocean. Prudhoe Bay, it was the Conoco oil treatment plant. Let's see, I got the wrong PowerPoint open. You were asking about junk DNA first. Do you want any more on that? Should I just close this PowerPoint?
Oh, that was okay. I was just wondering if any particular reason you said Answers in Genesis for the chromosomes and stuff, like a genetic load going back only thousands of years.
But, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that was just a reference, just so I could see that.
I think I've got the guy's address here for the trilobites, if you'll... Let's see, there are 700 slides in part 4A. I'm not sure how many in part 4B, but there's a lot. I have nearly 7,000. Okay, index fossils is where I'm talking about that. Something. And my point is, there is no such thing as an index fossil. Okay. Also, Joe Taylor in Crosbyton, Texas, has lots of stuff on the giant isopod, which is very, very similar to the trilobite. They're found in Mexico. They're found off the coast of Florida, Gulf of Mexico.
Are they like a big bug or something? Like a poly?
The one I've got a picture of in front of me here has got to be Actually, we have a giant one. They call it a sea roach. It's in our museum, also in formaldehyde. It's probably 10 inches long and 4 inches wide. Looks like a big roly-poly. I mean, huge roly-poly.
Yeah, I noticed they look like that. So why are they so much smaller when you see them in fossils? Those itty bitty little creatures.
Some really big trilobites have been found. I mean,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got, let's see, here's a picture from...
I have a fossil of my own with trilobites in it. I was thinking these are dangerous, little, tiny little things.
Okay, I have a picture of a guy holding two trilobites that are probably 14 inches long, each one.
Wow.
Two of them in one big rock slab.
Okay.
But I don't have a reference for that picture. I can read some of the sub... It says, these trilobites were giants. Most were smaller than a cassette tape. Trilobites lived on Earth millions of years before the dinosaurs. Okay. Typical propaganda. But no, so you could ask any... Go to the Tucson gym, Rock and Gem and Mineral. You know, there is going on now, or it was last week. They sell trilobites. Morocco seems to have most of them, but the best ones. Okay.
Okay.
I've got a picture of... 25 probably different styles of trilobites that have been found fossilized. Some look very similar to horseshoe crabs, some like roly-polies. But you can call Joe Taylor, go to mountblanco.com, B-L-A-N-C-O. It's outside of Lubbock, Texas. He's got a creation museum and has a lot of stuff on trilobites.
okay.
I can't believe, I think if I go to the museum, I put a card in there with the guy's name of who sent me the trilobites, but he said they plugged the screens. It's on the Kuparuk, K-U-P-A-R-U-K, River in Alaska, which is goes to the oil treatment plant in Prudhoe Bay.
Huh.
Right?
Okay. And the next thing here, there was a particular, you know, one of those evolution guys in the room yesterday that was listening to some of what you were saying yesterday, and he went on about... I think it was in one of your sessions they did say, or used to say, I think it's out of date, that there was a 2% difference between chimps and humans, and now it's gone up to like 6% or something. Is that true?
They used to say it was 1.6.
Okay, 1.6.
It has now, I'll get you the actual data here, okay? Let's see.
I was telling you, you might want to check your references there, because it's a little bit out of date.
You
got one of those textbooks there that's 50
no,
years old.
I try to reference everything. I do have some really old textbooks, but here we go. This is on Seminar Part 4B, if you download the slides. Oh, everything's referenced. There's a lot of stuff in the notes section, which all you see on the slide is an asterisk, which indicates there's stuff in the notes. Okay. Here's an interesting quote. AuroraProductions.com has stuff about mitochondrial DNA showing we have a common ancestor 300 generations ago.
Okay. What's your answer to that?
I think that's correct. At 20 years per generation, that's 6,000 years.
Okay.
300 times 20. That's the mitochondrial DNA research based on, you know, of course there's some assumptions built into that. let's see. I'm looking for... read me your question one more time. Chimps and humans. Okay.
Yeah, what is the current running statistic on the difference between the chromosomes and the DNA and stuff?
Okay, here's an article from the Washington Post, September 30th of 2002, on page A7. I'm quoting here. Humans and chimps may be slightly less closely related than had been thought, according to new research. It has long been believed that the DNA of chimps and humans is about 98.5% identical, making chimps our closest relatives. But Roy Britton of California Institute of Technology conducted a new analysis comparing 779,000 individual components of DNA from humans and chimps and found more differences than previously noted. Britton concludes that humans and chimps share only about 95% of the same DNA, according to the report released last week by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So that would have been, you know, mid-September of 2002. Then, Nature Magazine, May 27th of 2004, on page 382 to 388, there's a six-page article that said, this is not a quote, this is my summary of it, human and chimp DNA difference is tripled. We are more unique than previously thought, according to new comparisons of human and chimpanzee DNA. Now, that is a quote. It has long been held No, that's the 95%. Oh, Nature magazine, May 27th of 04, says the difference is now 7.7%.
Boy, years keep going by. I need more difference.
This makes it even more complicated, though. Barney Maddox was one of the leading genome researcher on this project. Dr. Maddox said, the genetic difference between the human and his nearest relative, the chimpanzee, is at least 1.6%. That doesn't sound like much, but calculated out, that's a gap of 48 million nucleotides, and a change of only 3 nucleotides is fatal to an animal.
Huh.
So back when they thought it was 1.6%, that would be 48 million differences. Okay. At 5%, that's 160 million differences, and at 7.7%, it's 246 million differences. Now, if somebody wants to believe they're related to a chimp, I mean, that's their business. I don't care what they believe. However, they shouldn't call that science.
Yeah.
That's a faith. That's a religion.
That's what goes to a common creator, you know, front-facing eyes, forward-walking, kind of stuff like that. Kind of makes you wonder what, when they put out statistics like that, what's the margin of error on the margin of error?
Well, correct. I don't know.
How much is the possibility that they're wrong on the possibility of that? Okay, so now we got the millions and millions of nucleotides.
Okay, here's another reference. Oh, that's about junk DNA. Never mind. Okay. Other question.
The next thing, you mentioned that you had a couple of children, like 4 grandchildren.
Yes.
Are they, I was wondering what it might have been like or what it was for them. Were they in homeschooled, private schooled, or public schooled?
My children are grown and married. My grandchildren are 3 and under, all 4 of them. My children went to Christian school most of their life. They went to public school 1 year, and Christian school the rest of the time, but never homeschooled. I think that's probably best.
Yeah.
But my wife plays the piano and was busy trying to finish her degree this whole time and raising kids. So.
Okay, because I was just wondering with your children, with everybody, you know, with your children being grown up and your grandchildren being so young, I was wondering if any of them had ever been or had a public school experience, say, oh, my dad or my grandpa is Kent Hovind. Hey, how do you like that? Any kind of confrontation, like in a science class or something. I was wondering if they ever had any run-ins with anybody regarding that.
Chuck Holcomb is the manager of Dinosaur Adventure Land. He's got 4 children, and he just walked out the door. They go to public school, and he was telling me last night that his son in 6th grade has quite a few run-ins with his science teacher, who is switching over to become a creationist because of all the run-ins.
That sounds pretty good. You gotta think about it, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
At least they get their minds working. Another thing here. Whatever happened to Jonathan Samson? Because he was in all those tapes with Jerry.
Oh yeah. Jonathan. Oh yeah. He got married about 3 months ago.
Okay.
His wife works at a dentist office. He lives down the street, about 3-4 houses down. Still works in the ministry. Still does our websites. And his wife wants him home at 5 o'clock for supper.
And it's not one of those voices there anymore. So I was wondering, does anybody there smoke? Because over and like 500 times in all those videos, I keep hearing a cigarette lighter. I was wondering if that was Jared, if that was you, if that was Jonathan, or somebody else there with a cigarette lighter.
Nobody on my staff smokes.
Nobody. Well, I don't know, man. Somebody, and I guess it must have been on Jared's end of that, because I know what a lighter sounds like when somebody's, you know.
Might have been us bumping the microphone here. We don't have the fancy spring-loaded gizmos to hold the mics. I'll get that one of these days.
Maybe that's what it was. I just kept wondering about that, a little bit just wondering. But anyway, that was irrelevant. Aside from that, we did have somebody here wondering. I know I was thinking about this yesterday. You said if you read the Bible and if you go through everything and you think about it and you look at all perspectives, you'll become an independent Baptist.
Correct.
Do you still hold? Why do you hold to independent Baptist?
Well, that's what I am, and the only one in the whole world that's right on everything is me, and so obviously.
Okay.
No, I have studied most of the religions of the world in some detail, and I don't know any, I guess, that are perfect or that are. But from what I've, the scriptural method, I think, is not for churches to answer to some authority in Rome or Nashville or someplace else. The scriptural position for the New Testament church was autonomous, independent churches. So if one goes bad, the whole thing doesn't go bad. It's kind of like each apple has its own skin, you know.
Right. Okay. So why then Baptist? You got Pentecostals, you got Methodist, you got Presbyterian one.
Well, yeah, the name means nothing to me. Okay, right. But what they believe to me is closest to Scripture. The Baptist, now there's a lot of different kinds of Baptists, but generally they believe the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus was born of a virgin. He rose physically from the dead. He's coming again to, you know, take his own out of here. You know, the basic doctrines of the Bible, they would say, in general, the Baptists would say, we don't care what anybody else says about anything. What does the Bible say? That's our, it's called the basic rule of faith and practice.
Okay.
All that matters is that book. As opposed to other religions, you know, what matters is, oh, what did they used to believe? You know, what did our founding fathers of our religion believe?
Okay.
Which doesn't impress me at all.
What the, what they believed, or?
Yeah, I don't care what Menno Simmons believed or Charles Wesley. I mean, I listen to them. I read their stuff.
Or John Calvin. Or
sure, I don't care.
Dwight L. Moody.
Yeah, I'm glad to read their stuff.
Okay.
Charles Spurgeon. And you glean a lot from it.
All right. Well, we don't have any atheists particular right in the room right now or asking questions. The only thing that anybody's made a comment on is that they could not find MountBlanco.com. Is that
MT?
Sure, it might not be in.
No, yeah, MT, BLANCO. Just abbreviate mountain. MT.
Oh, okay.
MT, BLANCO, Mount Blanco. Spanish for
okay.
White.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I lived in Texas for 3.5 years. All right, so it's MT Blanco. All right. I guess that'll do it here. Nobody's
sounds great. Perfect timing. We've got a break here.
All right.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back after the break, folks, and we'll take all your instant messages. They're piling up on me, Albert. We'll be back in a minute. Bye-bye. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live.
January 25th of 06.
25th. Man, oh, man. Time flies. And you're the folks we're doing this for. We want you to call in and join us on the program, 877-479-DINO. Extension 136, or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. And we love saying we believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. God made the world in 6 days, just like he said he did. The earth is not billions of years old. Dinosaurs did not live millions of years ago. The geologic column is dumb, El Dumbo. It didn't, the layers all formed in the flood in the days of Noah. There are petrified trees standing up, connecting all these layers, and if you think the petrified tree is going to stand there for 30 million years, waiting for the dirt to settle around it, you need your head examined, okay? Look at drdino.com. That was what my dad always used to say, you know, you need your head examined. That was his expression, you know. Did you get somebody say something like that to you growing up? Or, you know?
I'm sure my dad said something. I just can't think of it right now.
You weren't listening, okay. Because you need your head examined, okay. Anyway, and we believe that the evolution theory is the dumbest theory in the history of the world. And you can join us, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or 850-479-DINO, extension 136. And here we can instant message us, Dr. Dino Live. Young Earth guy had said, what about the hydroplate theory, water come up out of the fountains of deep? Let me get back to that one until we get another phone call. By the way, this is good. You know, if we had all the atheist chat rooms calling in to talk to me live, we could straighten them out. They want to get me onto their chat room because I type 12 words a minute and with 18 mistakes, you know. And, you know, come into an email debate with us. Forget it. This is live. I'm paying for the radio time. I'm paying for the staff. I'm paying for the equipment, the stuff. Okay, you can't beat a deal like that. You can call in toll-free. I'll pay for the phone call. Call in. We'll be glad to take your questions. But I'm not about to get into an email or chat room discussion. Even if I could type fast, I still wouldn't do it. Waste of time. My opinion. Okay, Young Earth guy said, the question is about the hydroplate theory. The water coming out of the fountains of the deep would have been under tremendous pressure. I would guess that the water was hot as well. I have read that there could not have been an ice age if the oceans were not warm, so as to give enough humidity to the atmosphere to support massive snow dumps that would cause glacial movement. How would the woolly mammoths have stayed frozen in ice under the rising warm waters? A couple of assumptions built into there. Hot water coming out of the ocean, which I think there's still hot water coming into the bottom of the ocean, which is why we have the thermal vents, geothermal vents at the bottom of the ocean. There's hot water coming up to the bottom of the ocean, into the bottom of the ocean. Where does it have to be coming from? Down lower than that, okay? So there's still water in the crust of the earth, and it squirts up into the bottom of the ocean in these hot water vents. But if you look at Walt Brown's hydroplate theory, it's the best I have seen. I don't know of anything that it doesn't answer, and I don't know if anybody done anything better than that. Glenda, are you going to be on the program?
I will.
Get her a microphone, Albert. She can be on the program.
Yeah, this is
So go to creationscience.com and check Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. It's excellent. That I know I disagree with Walt on a couple of things. Okay, he's got a few things I just don't agree with. Probably some things with most people I don't agree with, except Glenda. She agrees with me on everything. Give her the microphone. Forget it. We don't want to hear what you got to say. Okay. So I don't think I kind of combine Walt Brown's theory with, we call it the Hovind theory. It's a combination of a lot of things. But basically, I believe the evidence would show that the mammoths must have been frozen probably in, they must have been frozen rapidly, because a few are found standing up, food still in their teeth, still in their stomach, etc. And so if you watch my video 6, we cover all that on the Hovind theory. Okay, Albert, who's on the phone there?
We have Steve from Ohio.
Steve from Ohio. Yes, sir, Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, sir, I got a question. On one of your debates that you did with the guy that got really upset and acted like he wanted to come over there and beat you up on stage, I forget what, I think it was Rutgers University.
Oh, yeah, that guy was upset, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very upset, but wow. I think it was pretty funny because I think you put him in his place. But
now, do you realize it was a high school student that set up that entire debate?
Uh-huh.
And he said he would come debate me if she paid him $1,000. So this
wow.
high school student went out and raised $1,000 so he would debate me. Can you believe that?
That's good stuff.
Go ahead.
Anyway, hey, on the very end of that debate, he talks about, remember he read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, when he was talking about the translation where it says, remember now thy creator in thy days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then he pointed out that them apparently was translated as temple whores, and they translated it wrong, this, that, and the other. I don't know if, do you remember that?
I remember it. I don't think I addressed it. It's so stupid. You know, he thinks he knows more than the King James.
About?
Oh, I've never heard that before in my life. I was shocked. I said, you got to be kidding, you know. Talking about the years, have no more pleasure in the years. I mean, read the verse. When you get old, and all of a sudden life, you don't have the pleasure in life anymore. It's just, I want to get out of here. My mom, the last 5 years of her life, she was ready to die and anxious to die. Let me out of here, you know.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
And then I also got a couple more questions. My wife and I, we've been married 7 years, and we haven't both felt the need for children. Now, I don't know, I mean, scripturally, you know, it sounds like it's a great thing to have children. It's just the Lord has never put it on our heart to have children. Is that, I mean, I guess I don't know if that's, is that right or wrong, or, you know, is the Lord leading us that way to not have children, or how, you know what I mean? We have a lot of people that ask us, hey, when are you guys going to have kids? But it just really isn't a concern to us, you know, right now. Is that out of the ordinary, or, you know, I guess how does the Lord look at
I would say, you know, without being too blunt, it is selfish.
It is selfish.
Yeah, God's commanded us to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Okay?
Okay.
Many times, like thousands of times, I have wished I had had more.
Right.
Now, with the 4 grandkids, I really wish I had had more.
Right.
The Bible says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You know, children are an heritage of the Lord.
Right.
So, I don't know that, I would assume that you or your wife have taken into your control the prevention
right.
of children being conceived. And I guess the older I get, the more I see from God's perspective, I'm hoping, that that's wrong.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's nice. Hey, we're going to work and save a bunch of money and have a big house. And I know people with 8 or 10 or 12 children mm-hmm. who, you know, they don't have a nice car, they don't have a nice house, but they have an awesome, awesome family.
Right.
We have them come here all the time to Dinosaur Adventureland. You know, there's a family today with 8 kids here at Dinosaur Adventureland. It's just amazing, you know. Yeah. They're rich. I don't care if they got any money in the bank, you know.
Right.
They are incredibly wealthy. Tell you what, call Jim Holt. He is an Arkansas State representative. He's an Arkansas State Senator, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He has 9 children. They can't wait to have more.
Wow.
He came down and spoke at our staff banquet a couple years ago, our staff appreciation banquet in January. He's been a friend of mine for years. And he and his wife and all their kids came down, and we had a blast. They stayed here for 3 days, and we had a wonderful time. Great family, okay? And his wife, Bobby, I forget how the conversation comes up, but something about, you know, somebody said, you need to have your husband fixed. Mm-hmm. She said, fixed? That would be broken. Wouldn't it?
I guess.
Yeah. That's not fixed. That's broken. I've never heard that before. That was classic. And here's a lady with nine kids saying, oh, that would be broken.
Yeah.
Which one of the kids do you want me to throw away? I mean, come on, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't think, you know, people should have a lot of kids and ask somebody else to pay for them, you know.
Right.
So you're going to have 10 kids. That's great. You pay for them. You raise them. You feed them. You know, but boy, I think it's, see, what's happening in Israel right now, there's a real serious problem because the average Jewish family is averaging like 2.5 kids like the rest of the world.
Okay.
The average Muslim family is averaging 9 kids or something like that. It's phenomenal.
Wow.
You don't have to do that more than a couple generations and you are quickly outnumbered.
Right.
So, I mean, I just read the Bible. Don't listen to Hollywood. Don't listen to advice from any place else. Read the Bible. What's it say? Children on heritage of the Lord. You know, happy is a man that has his quiver full of them.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I would say the only reason to not have children, the only reasons I can think of, period, would all be selfish reasons.
Okay. Yeah, and I had thought about that myself, too. I just didn't know, you know, if people get a feeling to, you know, if the Lord puts it in their heart to have kids, you know, because sometimes I wonder, like, you know, why don't I want kids? And then I start thinking, well, if the Lord wanted me to have kids, I would have a feeling in my heart to, you know, have a desire for kids. Like a lot of people have a desire that they want kids, and then when we tell them, well, we don't really plan on having kids, they kind of think it's off the wall. But you know, there's never been a desire there for children.
Well, don't do anything to prevent it, and sleep in separate rooms for a month, and see if there isn't a desire to have children. Okay.
I want to write a book about that one.
Okay.
And then the last question I got is, and I know I've looked back and forth with the once saved, always saved thing, and I think it basically comes down to is if somebody really trusted the Lord in their heart to save them is what really determines. Because I know myself, when I got saved, everything, you know, when I used to go to church, it used to be extremely boring, and I used to look at a clock like every 5 minutes to see, hey, is it time to go home yet? Now, after I got saved, that all changed. Now, let's say Sunday school is the only class that I could sit in for hours on end, and I really enjoy it because I get to know more about the Lord and, you know, and what he's done for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's just an incredible amount of passion to seek his face.
Awesome. That's good.
And you know, I guess, so when it's once saved, always saved, you know, and I know, like, I think it's the Church of Christ that believes, you know, you could fall out of grace or whatnot, and we go to an independent Baptist church as well. And, you know, and that's completely different, where they're saying once saved, always saved. And I think the scripture backs up the once saved, always saved a lot more so than the other way around. But I just wanted your take on that, basically.
Well, if salvation is by grace, it has to be eternal. How could you possibly lose something
right
that you never did deserve?
Right.
I didn't deserve to go to heaven before I got saved. I didn't deserve to go to heaven while I was getting saved.
Right.
I don't deserve to go to heaven now.
Right.
How could you ever keep something like that? That's really the question. If salvation is something you could lose, how could anybody ever keep it?
Right.
Okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but hath everlasting life.
Right.
How long does everlasting life last?
Forever.
It doesn't say you'd have temporary life. You get everlasting life.
Right.
If you look at John 3:36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath.
Hath, and that's a future tense, correct?
Yeah, present. You have it right now. Okay.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but I'm saying it's...
Yeah, he hath.
Saying
he,
right now, as soon as you believe, you hath it for eternally.
Hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not commit a condemnation.
Where does the Church of Christ come up with, you can lose your salvation?
Any church that teaches you can lose your salvation, I would say probably does so to try to keep their people in line.
Okay.
Why else would you do such a thing?
Right, right. You'd scare them to death, right?
I mean, I never told my kids growing up, you know, hey, if you do that, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
I'm going to spank you. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to take away your bicycle. I'm going to make life miserable for you, but you're my child.
Right.
It's not even a consideration. It's not even a consideration that I'm going to kill you. You never have to worry about that. Now, you better worry about being bad because I will punish you and I'm dad, you know, and I play tennis and I have an excellent forehand smash and you're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm...
I got one more thing if you could take it.
Well, the one more verse you might want to write down here. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
Life, right.
Period. How could you lose... Another one, write down 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The first five verses, 1-5. Because here they got a guy living in adultery with his stepmother. And Paul says, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. He's still going to heaven. Man, if anybody could lose his salvation, that guy would.
Okay, and then I got one more thing. When you do a lot of your debates, how do the professors that you debate against, how do they possibly explain how all the planets are perfectly round and they spin in different directions? How do they possibly explain a Big Bang could have even came close to making that?
I've had a couple say maybe there was a collision that reversed the spin. I say, now guys, think about it just for a minute, okay? If a hand grenade explodes, the fragments fly out like spokes on a wheel. How are they going to hit each other later? Out there in space someplace, the longer you wait, the further apart they get.
Right.
They're never going to hit each other.
So do they just give you a blank stare when you ask that?
They go on to a different subject.
Yeah.
Just like Jehovah's Witnesses. You get a Jehovah's Witness cornered, they're off to a new subject. What about this? Let's go back and finish where we were, you know? No, we don't want to finish that one. Let's go on to something else, you know?
Oh, that's funny. All right, sir, that's all I got for you.
Hey, call anytime.
All right,
thanks a lot. All right, folks, you can call 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Ghost 32 writes in, Dr. Hovind, I was watching one of your debates and thought I heard you mention that it took Noah 100 and some odd years to build the boat. But I wasn't able to find this in Genesis. Could you please tell me what references to this? There are no references. I may have said that many people teach it took Noah 120 years to build the boat. The only reason they teach that is because of that verse in Genesis 6 that says, yet his days shall be 120 years. There are five or six different theories of what that means. His days shall be 120 years. One theory is, Noah, the flood's coming in 120 years. You know, build the boat. Another theory is, nobody's going to live past 120. I don't think that's true, because we've had people live past 120. A third theory is, it's 120 Jubilee years. And there are every 50th year is a Jubilee. Well, if you go that way, 120 times 50 is 6,000. So man's going to live on Earth 6,000 years. Those are some of the key theories. I don't have that slide in front of me, but I cover all that on video number 7, or a question-answer tape where I answer the question, who are the Nephilim? Nephilim. Okay, thanks for the question. So you're right. It is not in the Genesis that it's 120 years to build the boat. The Hebrew tradition, or Jewish tradition, is it took Noah 7 years to build the boat. But as far as I can find, that is purely their tradition. Which might be worth considering, you know, since they do have a pretty old history, and you know, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe there's not. Okay, here we go. Narf 007 writes, what evidence is there, if any other biblical event such as the Wall of Jericho, etc.? Ooh, we'll be back and take that question right after the break in our final segment on the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Be right back. Bye. Hey, welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert. I like that name, Albert.
And we're live, January 25th of 06.
Yeah, and you've been here at the ministry a couple months. You've been a real blessing, brother. We're going to work you hard and keep you going. A couple more years, we'll find you a wife.
It's been almost 5 months now.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Man. You're going to find, when you get the wife, you're going to find what everybody else finds.
They're expensive.
You have a lot of month left over at the end of the money. And two can live as cheap as one, but only for half as long.
Time.
Yeah, a little less than half. Okay, here we go. Narf 007 writes in to, oh, we forgot to give all the wonderful stuff. We believe the Bible is true and evolution theory is dumb. Okay, God made the world in 6 days. The earth is not billions of years old. None of this evolution junk happened. It's the stupidest idea in the history of humanity. But that's okay. If you believe it, that's fine. You have a right to believe it. This is America, the land of the free and the home of the slave, and we support your rights to believe whatever you want to believe. However, you should not call evolution science. You should not expect everybody else to support your theory being, your religion, I'm sorry, being taught in our school system, because it's nothing but a religion. But you can instant message us here at Dr. Dino live in our last 12 minutes, or you can call us at 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Narf 007 writes in, what evidence is there, if any, of any other biblical events such as the Wall of Jericho? Narf, I cover a lot of those type of things on our video number 7, which, by the way, the new video 7 comes out in about 2 weeks. It is now 5 hours long, just on commonly asked questions at the end of my seminar. So, I don't know. It's long. It's going to be double-stamped DVD and all that stuff. So, Pavel's getting that DVD off to press, right? Is he done with that? Is he done proofing that? You want me to proof it tonight? When's it going to be? Got to re-put all the slides in and all that? Oh. Okay, good. Good. Okay. So, there is evidence, archaeological evidence. There's a magazine. I don't think I can recommend it 100%, but it's got a lot of good stuff in there. Biblical Archaeological Review, B-A-R. Bible Archaeological, or Biblical Archaeological Review. You might also want to go to, let's see, wyattmuseum.com. Wyatt, W-Y-A-T-T, museum.com. They've got a lot of stuff on biblical archaeology type stuff. That would be helpful. Okay, Cutie Girl, 3856 writes in, I watched 9/11 in Plain Sight, director's cut, because you recommended it. And I was really amazed with all the stuff that they showed. I never expected them to actually show stunning evidence like that. Is there any other good 9/11 videos that show evidence and not just theories? This one thing I saw called 9/11 Greatest Lie Ever Sold actually played the joke video off some guys mimicking the moon landing by having a fake set created and having a stage light fall. After that, I figured the Greatest Lie Ever Sold movie was not worth watching and not to be trustable. Okay, Cutie Girl, I am not familiar with the Greatest Lie Ever Sold movie. I have seen 9/11 in Plain Sight. Let's see. Hey, Leia, are you still over there working? Hey, Leia? She must be gone, our librarian. The movie, have you seen that yet, in 9/11 in Plain Sight?
Yes, I love that one.
Good. Yeah, I really think it's... We've been duped. Okay. So I'm not familiar with Greatest Lie Ever Sold. Sorry about that. But I don't know of any other stuff. You might want to try Alex Jones. I think he's got stuff on that. Alex Jones Show. Okay. Here we go. Cerebral Noise writes in, for what it's worth, I watched a recreation of Kennedy's assassination on TV. They demonstrated using ballistics gel how one bullet shot from Oswald's position went through the president's neck, through the chest of the guy in front of him, through this guy's hand, and into his leg. One bullet made 7 entry-exit wounds. I'm going to doubt that pretty strongly, okay? Yeah, Kennedy, I hate liars. So does God, you know. Just all right, go ahead. Albert, who's on the phone there?
We have Lisa from Illinois.
Lisa, Illinois. What part of Illinois?
South Roxana, just outside St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm from Peoria originally.
Yeah, I know. I've met you a few times, and I've seen you live a few times. I know quite a bit. Well, not a lot about you, but a little bit.
All right. How can we help you, Lisa?
Well, I teach high school biology, and I'm working on my master's, and I'm to my project, and I have proposed my project idea to my science advisor at the college. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah. You're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Because I'm on my cell phone. And I sent my proposal to her, and she responded back with... some defensive statements, and I just wanted to call you to get an idea of how to approach it, if I should just approach it with getting my project done, or...
Well, what was your proposal to her?
The project title was Positive Educational Benefits of Including Alternate Theories on the Origin of Species, and I sent a little paragraph about what I wanted to say, something about... I'm trying to get in the house so I can show it to you, but... what better way to exercise logic and reason than to let the students, I can't remember the exact word.
Well, yeah, your concept is correct. One thing you might want to point out is, in survey after survey, consistently somewhere close to 60% of the American population believes the Earth was created by God in 6 days, about 6,000 years ago, the position that I have taken for years, what's called the young Earth. I mean, whether your teacher likes it or not, the fact is the majority of Americans believe that. So why not teach the majority view?
Right. Well, my question for you, I guess, is let me just read you a couple of her statements from her email back to me. Ultimately, she okayed for me to do it, but she just wants me to just tell how they're different. But one thing she said is that I need to understand how science works, and that obviously offended me because I totally understand how science works.
Here's the thing, though. See, whenever they say that, they are assuming that evolution is part of science and has been accepted and is not open for question. I mean, that's the built-in assumption they're saying. But go ahead.
Okay. And then she quoted the Pope and said the Pope even said that intelligent design is not scientific. Then she said that evolution is completely accepted in science, and it is a theory because it's pretty much true, because as a theory, it has been subjected to multiple tests of many hypotheses. So my personal feelings is to rebuttal all these things with a lot of things that I know, but then I'm thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't approach it that way. So I just want to get your opinion on how you think I should approach
it. Well, I would say, teacher, you need to define what you mean by evolution. Because there are six different meanings to that word. See, here's the whole problem, and I've said this 1,000 times. When we discuss evolution without defining it, we're never going to get anywhere, because as soon as I say the word, I'm thinking of something different than what they are thinking of when they say that word. They're thinking of dogs and wolves have a common ancestor, and why don't you see it,
Right.
And I'm thinking dogs and bananas have a common ancestor. How can you see it? So we're talking right past each other, because we're not defining the terms. I would say, teacher,
I think I should leave my personal feelings out of it and just, kind of like say, hey, thanks for your response, and just proceed with my project.
Yeah, and then in the project, convert the teacher, not in your response.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because my initial response is, if we're going to quote a religious man, let's quote Paul or Jesus or somebody, from the Bible.
Who cares what the Pope says?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And she sent me several websites that I can look at, about evolution and education. As far as the project title, can you give me a suggestion on how to approach that?
Read the title to me one more time.
Okay, I can read it to you word for word. Positive educational benefits of including a supplement on the theory of origins of species with lesson ideas.
That type of thing, it's a good idea and it would be a great paper, but it's been tried in courts numerous times and lost because teaching alternative theories like creation or intelligent design or the Bible or whatever, that has obvious religious ramifications.
Okay.
And the courts are going to say, good idea, but you can't do it because the state can't get involved in religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then technically that's probably correct. To me, the more logical approach is, should we use lies to support our theory? Suppose you did your paper on, should textbooks be allowed to use outdated or false information as evidence for any theory?
Okay, I'm trying to write that down. Will you repeat it one more time?
should textbooks or teachers be allowed to use, just be blunt, lies to assist students in believing any particular theory?
But in that approach, should I just totally leave intelligent design out of it?
Well, see, I recommend when it comes to public schools, you don't mention creation or evolution. Just simply require accuracy in textbooks.
Well, I totally agree. I totally agree.
Then if you take all the lies out of the textbooks, like the embryo having gill slits and the human tailbone being vestigial and the whale having a vestigial pelvis, take all the lies out. There's nothing left to support the evolution theory.
Right.
Well, that's their problem, not mine. They shouldn't have picked a dumb theory. Don't blame me.
Yeah, right. So you think I should just kind of modify this then?
Well, that's up to you. I mean, as far as if you want a paper to get a grade, et cetera, you can do it on anything you'd like. If you want something that actually will win in court, I think, you know, the lies in the textbooks is the only place we can focus that's winnable in court, because there's such a huge amount of case law against intelligent design or creation. It's not positive law, it's just case law. The judges have ruled now.
Well, I'm not exactly doing this to go to court or anything. I'm just doing this to get my master's degree, so.
Sure, okay. Well, to me, it's a no-brainer. Textbooks ought to be accurate.
Right, and I totally agree with you, 100%, for sure. So, you're kind of recommending then just kind of focus on the lies in the textbook.
Right. Require books to be accurate. Take out anything that's not true. And there's a lot of stuff. It's been proven 50 years ago it's not true.
Right.
Like the horse evolution, coming from a four-toed to a one-toed horse. For heaven's sake, that's proven wrong 50 years ago.
Right.
Get it out of the book.
Do you know a lot, though, about having to quote resources? Like,
I
want to get a scientific journal that says, okay, who shows?
Sure. Iconsofevolution.com has a lot of stuff that would be good.
That I could actually...
Yeah, they will give, you know, original source, you know. They'll say, hey, Nature Magazine, blah, 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 Scientific American, blah, blah, blah. They'll give the sources. It'll all be secular sources.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for, secular sources.
Right.
Because they're not going to be, I don't think they'd be too fond of, you know, drdino.com or icr.com or, AnderssonGenesis.com.
Now, they should be because we're right on everything here, but, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. I agree.
Okay.
Okay, thanks so much, Dr. Holvin.
All right, you're welcome.
God bless you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay. All right, folks, if you want to get on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Okay, Kale says about Kennedy's, the bullet had 7 entry exit wounds. I'm going to give that a real positive. I don't believe that. Okay, here we go. Someone says, look at this, Dr. Holvin, chemical chemtrails data page, www.rense, R-E-N-S-E.
I sent you that.
.com. Okay, yeah.
I looked over it a little
bit.
A
lot of stuff.
That's a good website to go to.
Pensacola has been sprayed probably 3 times in the last year. It's all the time.
Breathing that air.
We're breathing that. Yep, better look at it. Okay, Rick Glumans are good. Rick Glumans, whatever. I don't know. I can't understand this email, this website, this instant message, this name. Doesn't matter. It says, what do you know about Kevin Trudeau? I've seen him on TV a couple times. He does the stuff on, you know, cures they don't want you to know about. Somebody sent me the book. I haven't had time to read it, but I've had several people tell me, you know, in the book, he just refers to more stuff. You got to spend more money. I don't know if that's true, but I certainly would agree with the concept that there are a lot of cures for a lot of diseases that some people do not want you to know about because they don't make any money that way. Love of money is the root of all evil. All evil. So I think Kevin Trudeau, at least for that perspective, what I've heard him on TVs, flipping channels, you know, I looked at a couple pages of his book, and the concept is correct. Okay, most diseases can be cured with vitamins, minerals, you know, oils, exercise, chiropractic. There's probably 10% of the medical profession is all that's really necessary, you know, for trauma, things like that. Probably 90%, just to pick a number, probably 90% would be they could go home, get a different job, okay, and do the world a favor if people just ate right. Okay, Freedom Package. That is, call Pastor Mooneyhan, Rich and Anna, R-I-C-H, the letter N, and Anna, A-N-N-A, at AOL.com. Rich and Anna, he still has that. Okay, folks, the rest of you will save yours and start tomorrow with your questions. See you then. Bye-bye.